We are back. Coach's Corner, not Fat Boys, Coach's Corner. Even though you guys at least did Easter. I didn't do Easter, so
I kept it to a pretty tame Fat Boy last night, but I had a free meal with the family for sure.
Yeah, I actually probably ended up under eating just because of the way we
I actually dropped weight though.
Me too. I'm too
we all did free meals last week. We all dropped weight. Let's go.
From yesterday, well, I'm just talking in the last 2 days. My weight's still up like 2.5 pounds from before. But I woke up at 212, man, 2 days ago for some reason. And like nothing had really changed. Diet was the same. It was 2 days after training day. But I think I might have had some like micro tears in my quad because I had some really weird feelings in my quad that I haven't had in a long time. So yeah, I woke up at 212 and then I woke up this morning at 211.2 and I'm like, all right. So I didn't do a bunch of damage with the meal.
I said I woke up looking leaner. I finally saw abs today for the first time in a while.
Oh yeah.
So, and then I felt nice and juicy to take off my fucking shorts in my gym today and take some pictures. So that's how you know how I'm feeling. If I'm doing that, sure. You know.
Yeah. You
know, full on bro mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the posing room's for. Even though there's no door. So like everyone could just see your fucking ass decide to just hike up your fucking
shorts. I love that angled mirror though, so you can see your back, man. Fuck.
Thanks. Oh yeah, dude. The lighting fucking sucks though. So it's like
fair.
Yeah. What else? Oh, no, I got a massage. No, I'm good. Everything's chilling. We are back. I'm really happy that we're doing Q&A. I think we got off our schedule. We did 2 episodes in a row, Fat Boys, I think, and we forgot and we didn't do a Q&A. So now we got to get back to our actual.
Here we are. I think we did an educational episode and then we did a Fat Boys and now we're on Q&A.
Did we? Maybe we did. Yeah, I don't even know my own podcast. Look at me. I think the best part of the weekend was by far the message that we got from Dylan in our group chat, where Dylan's like, "Hey, do I get a free meal?" He's like, "How does this go?" I was just like, "He's like, wait a second, we didn't describe
any." Well, that it was Easter, I was like, "Hey, it's Easter."
I actually will say that I laughed out loud at that. Yeah, I just see like, "Oh yeah. Do I get a free meal?" I'm like, yes, you can have a free meal, my man. I know you're not an asshole.
But it's actually funny that I didn't really end up. I just ate some different food sources than I normally probably do, but I probably end up eating because I just drove so much. It was like those days where I had like a lot of protein early in the day and just like training or carpool training. And then I didn't eat till supper, and then I'm too full to eat anything else, right? Because you just have one kind of bigger meal. But I still bet you my calories was under. I trained really hard while I was gone too.
Yeah, and you had the nice little getaway there for a couple days.
Yeah, we had a one night getaway. I did some mushrooms in this like cabin that was the size of a bedroom. It was like actually, it was pretty cool. There's a hot plate in there. I ate organ meat off the back of my truck in the middle of the woods.
It looked fucking awesome. It looked like, I'm not going to lie, I'd be scared as fuck to go, if it's that small of a place, I'd be scared as fuck to go.
No, man, that's the best shit.
No.
Well, it's actually in a camp. So like there is bigger cabins around. Like,
oh, okay.
Like you're inside. It's actually, they have music festivals in there and stuff in the summer. So they have like a self-smoke sauna. So like they have cedar wood cut. You can go light a fire with a home-built cedar sauna, which is really cool. And then it's like your cabins mostly have, some of them are bigger, have like kitchens and stuff, but there's all like community washrooms, like going to the lake, you know, like there's big washrooms and showers and coin-operated showers and stuff. So it was really cool. But we just took this little tiny suite, just like we were only there for literally 8 hours by the time we got there and, you know, just cooked one meal and kind of hung out and just
enough to bang the mushroom high all the way through and then pass up and get out.
Pretty much. I didn't do that much. It wasn't like a crazy amount, but I feel real good, honestly.
I'm gonna go enjoy a cigar night tonight. Fuck yeah. I haven't done this in a while. I bought a new ashtray. I had to buy all my pieces because I left some of my stuff at home. I had to get my parents and I was like, you know, I haven't smoked a cigar in a long, long time. And I was like
an actual cigar, like a fucking big old stogie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let me see where I got it. Let's see if it's here.
I'm gonna smoke too, but it's not gonna be a cigar.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Oh damn, that thing is. That's dope.
I'm gonna
Dylan's gonna roll a blunt that big tonight.
I could never. That thing is wild.
Funny story, actually. So one of my athletes who's 5 weeks out, we're having a conversation, and I know he smokes a lot of dope. And he's like, he's literally like nailing everything. And he asks me, he'll message me random things like, hey, should I do this? Should I do that? And I'm like, hey, man, it's all good. Don't worry about that. Do this. And he messaged me. He's like, bro, should I like decrease my like weed intake or anything like that? And I'm like, well, I mean, you're a little watery, and anecdotally, I have seen it affect some people in that regard. And like, I mean, 5 weeks out, your sleep's already going to be taking a hit. So maybe, well, let's see, like, how much are you smoking? A quarter a day. So I'm like, yeah, you know what, man, let's cut that in half for the next little bit here, and I just want to see what happens to your physique.
What is that, like 4 or 5 grams a day?
Seven. A quarter, an ounce is 28, so
that's quite a bit. I bet his deep sleep is fucked, bro.
Yeah.
Totally
cannabis. He must feel great though all day.
But it's funny because it's actually funny because his wife posts pictures of him all the time. That guy can sleep anywhere at any time. He just passes out all the time.
Fuck, I wish I had that ability.
I know, me too. I was joking to Kim the other night where we were watching something and somebody fell asleep super fast. And she's like, I can do that. And I'm like, wow, that would be really nice. I can't even do that when I'm literally in my bed at bedtime. Like, you guys can sleep anywhere at any point in time. I literally cannot sleep when I lay in my bed at bedtime.
that would be a blessing.
Yeah. So
you guys have some good questions.
I do, but I'll let you guys. Usually, I always ask the first question, but I'll let you guys rip one. So whoever wants.
Sure. I had three that I liked. Two of them are not really about training really per se, which or anything, they're not even necessarily fitness oriented, which is probably why they came from my question box. So I'll go with the first one, which is training. And it says, who do you go to for resources, both training and PEDs, looking to further educate and like the content you put out?
I'll go first. The man who just asked the question. that's my source. To truly be honest, Dylan has helped me learn everything about different phases of training, and he's actually helping me develop clients' programming, and he's more than willing to look over my clients' training programming, which I'm very grateful to have him over, because he's an absolute mastermind when it comes down to this, and is somewhat sadistic, I will say. Sometimes I look at his plans and I'm like, you're fucking crazy. but they do get great results. So Dylan is one. Trained by JP is probably another one that's a big time one for me. I just mesh really well with that philosophy of hardcore, fucking heavy, progressive overload to the max type training. It's really where I see a lot of physiques developed a lot. And I developed a lot of inspiration from him, and like pulling with actual fucking dumbbells and heavy fucking weight, because I think a lot of people just rely on a lot of machines a lot of the time. So I think sometimes just putting some dumbbells in your hands can get things done. And he clearly shows it by doing 7 plate deadlifts very often. I would say Braden I go to too as well, for training stuff. Braden makes a lot of great videos. The two guys on the podcast make very good informational videos. And if you join their team, they have quite a few things coming up pretty soon that they're working on. So you're going to be in for a treat if you sign up with them. I would say Austin too. Austin's my mentor. As well, he helps me on the PED side a lot of things. John Jewett on the PED side, and these guys also as well. I'm in contact with a bunch of coaches on these different things, but yeah, the main guys are my close friends. Like, to truly be honest, I go to for a lot of different things. And the cool thing is that all three of us have very different, while we're all very similar on our goals and how we want to get people to their goal, we're very different on how the journey actually gets there and what tools we would actually use. So it's nice to, when we chat in our group chat, like, what would we do in terms of training this way? I've asked Dylan probably about a million questions, especially today. I actually discussed it today with him for another case. I would say majority are those people. So in general, Dylan, trained by JP, Braden, Austin, and then probably my coach Mark too as well.
Mm-hmm. I have I might have a little bit of a different answer, and I think it would require a conversation with the individual, kind of like finding where they're at, right? Because you direct them to some sources of information that might be a little more in depth, and they're just going to feel over their head and feel like they don't belong and feel like it's too hard and they're not going to understand things, right? Whereas, I mean, I'm not going to argue with any of the resources that you've mentioned, Anthony, because I think they're all great, and I've personally learned a lot from them. I've transitioned a lot of my learning over more to like peer-reviewed studies and that aspect side of things, like research reviews. So I do have like Alan Aragon's research reviews and stuff like that, and I do read some of those. But all of those are really good. I think people that I've interacted with along the way have been some of the biggest helps in my journey. So even guys that like I really look up to, like Matt Jensen, obviously worked with him for a little while, and just reverse engineering what he did with me and having conversations and asking questions is and Matt's always been great to me. If I ever have a question, and I have a prime example of it, right? Because I had never dealt with, and I can give you guys that example. So for myself, I had never dealt with somebody having an infection from a shot right before a show. And last year, I had an athlete do a shot and they got an infection and like crazy inflammation, swelling, water retention. And we were like, I'm talking like 6 days out. And I'm like, fuck. And the kid looked so good. And lines were just completely blurred. And like, it just was a really, really bad situation. And I was like, I've never had to deal with this. There's no literature on this shit. Like you can use your brain and you can try to come up with ways to control inflammation. So I just literally was like, you know what? Matt's always been good. I have him there. I'm going to message him and just see what he's up to and what I would do. So I messaged him. I told him what my thoughts were with it. And he came back and he's like, man, it's so funny you asked that. And he sent me a picture of one of his pros. And he's like, we're 2 days out here and look what I'm dealing with. And it was literally the exact same situation, but like 10 times worse. And like Buddy's arm was massive and like inflamed and red and swollen. And basically we kind of just started shooting the shit and we almost had the exact same conclusions, right? Just manage the inflammation as best as you can. I know Matt had to pull his guy out of the show. I had a little bit more time, so we were able to hold the inflammation down and boom. So I learned something right there just from interacting with somebody, right? But I do think like, whether it's talking with people like you guys, because everyone brings a different, I don't care your level of education, you might have a different viewpoint on something than I do. Obviously like Mark, Cam, I speak with these guys and I've messaged Mark before on certain situations, whether it's like actually business related or whatnot. So there's a lot of things, man. I mean, you look at N1 is a really good resource for training, I think. But I think for me, I take pieces of a lot of stuff, but I don't actually fully full throttle believe in anything to the edge of the world that anyone says, I think. And maybe that's because I'm a disagreeable person and we've figured that out via personality tests. But I have my own opinions, and I think that's, it's really important to get there. Once you start diving into information and seeing all these resources and having access to all these resources, if all you do is regurgitate that information, you're not actually becoming the educated person you want to be. You have to be able to formulate your own conclusions. Obviously a big one, and I've mentioned this before, Austin is my mentor as well. Been amazing for what he's helped me with. And there's only been a couple times where I've been in a situation where I'm not 100% sure to handle something. And that's where I'll go to Austin and be like, hey man, what's going on here? I have tried. I don't know exactly what's going on. Actually, I can think of only one situation where it's been like that. And he literally just kind of points me in the right direction. And I just did it recently and I reverse engineered exactly what, because he basically just gave me a protocol to do. I reverse engineered it, did some more digging into it, figured out exactly why the issue was happening, and boom, problem solved. 3 weeks later, got blood work. Everything's great. So yeah, that's a kind of long convoluted way of my answering that question. I think there's a ton of resources, like you said. That's why I don't want to add a bunch of just strict resources. I've used Camp Jensen. I've used Trained by JP, the Victor Black stuff. But again, every one of these people has things that I agree with and disagree with. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell for me. What about you, Dill?
Just like, obviously I agree with everything you guys just said. Some of those people that were named, like for me, I actually did like a full-on mentorship with Victor. So that's You know, like I have a lot of his stuff included. I just like his framework. I think the idea that you should only use certain things after you, I mean, to some degree, yes, but like, you know, rather than sort of that cycles for pennies, just like high androgens and just push that and push. I don't think that's the best system personally. But I also think that it does produce results. So like, it depends, I guess, on what you're quantifying. I guess everyone has different morals and different ideas of what they would want to see someone kind of live through. But you know, that stuff all works. So I think everything you guys named, you know, Austin, Mark, like all those guys are super smart. I've paid most of those people you named for either classes or coaching, or, you know, different things. I think just to give a little bit of a different answer, I would say that I think paid consults are really, really underutilized right now. And I've been doing more of them lately and I forgot how awesome it is. Like, you know, it's just like to get, you know, pay people for their time. It's worth something, you know? So like whatever, everyone's is different depending on their experience and credentials, et cetera. But like, you know, being able to sit down with someone for, you know, an hour or two for, you know, $150, $200, $300, $400, depending on their credentials, and getting them to ask them any questions, especially if you're already coaching. And I know this person that asked the question is. So like, you know, you already have some clients to run things on. It's like, hey, this is where you can get just bouncing ideas. And that's where I feel that a lot of the independent formulation of thought is made. It's sort of like in the trenches there a little bit. And then you have someone to kind of hold your hand through those decisions that you might not otherwise make that could be beneficial for the client and for you to learn something. So I think that is great. Training wise, you know, like Braden is my coach. I do learn. Braden and I talk about training quite a bit, and because he's so disagreeable, we keep each other in check because we're both like that. So we always look for holes in each other's stuff. I like Alex Bush's stuff. I like Austin Griffin's stuff, and he's got a great book out. I think that people should read. You know, training, to be honest, though, I am pretty much creating independent thought at a very rapid clip now. So like, I don't really like seek out training knowledge. To be honest, I find that, you know, like if I do something like J3 or anything like that, it's like all of that stuff is very repetitive to me. Like that's not new at all. Like very rarely. There might be little tips and tricks, but the return on investment is low because I have to sift through a lot of material to find a little tweak here or there that you could argue almost is useless. Like a lot of them are like cues, like foot positioning and, you know, little things that's like, oh, that's a really good idea. But like, is that the thing that's deriving a bunch of results? No, I've chased those things before. They matter, but they're not the biggest piece. And for me, Dr. Dwayne Jackson's a huge resource for me on the PED side of things, you know, because I have someone that is very credentialed, understands things that like I don't understand at all. Has also done the stuff himself so much to the point that he needed to have a kidney replaced, you know? So like he's lived through the consequence, the reactions and actions of those products. And then, you know, had to deal with like the harshest of consequences that they can produce amongst other lifestyle choices. But his journeys is super interesting. And I extract a lot from getting to talk to people. And him and Dr. Scott, you know, I pay Dr. Scott to have calls too. So like, I'm learning the most there for sure, because the wells are so deep. There's never ending, but like Braden said, that's not where I would tell someone to start.
Understand.
No, you know, I don't think consulting with even me, honestly, I'm the type of person to jump in the deep end. And sometimes I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, like we got to back that up a bit because your boys hasn't been to school in a long time. I don't quite understand that. But anyway, so I think that's, we'll leave it at that. Those are great resources. Yeah. Anything in any of those realms is money well spent or time.
I agree with you guys. Just to give a side note, I don't just rely on these people.
No,
I'm more so, I still have a ton to learn. So it's just like, I don't have as much time in the ropes and in the arena as these guys do right here. So I actually just trying to find more information. So my resources are me still digging and still learning things. Cause I came into this just knowing basic knowledge or just hard training, and that's really kind of it. And I didn't really know actually how to like make correct exercise selections and things like that. Like I kind of just threw things at the wall and hope they fucking worked.
Yeah, but that's you know, that's it. You're hitting 80% of the target, you know, like a lot there, but even with that, right? Because if you can get someone working hard consistently, that's super still underrated, you know.
Yep.
That's attached to all these fancy things and things that you'll, you know, optimize with, which is, I view myself as that type of person. Those are still the prerequisites, no matter what kind of optimizations.
Yeah. I think too, like, if you understand basic biomechanics, so you understand actual anatomy and what the role and function of muscles, and if you're talking from a training standpoint, realistically, I don't think you need a ton of resources to lean on for that kind of stuff, because that's where you just understand that, and you can realistically play with any movement pattern to work on finding the optimal way, right? And that's kind of part of what I've done. Yes, I've utilized, and I still like the guys Dylan mentioned, like Austin Current, Alex Bush, the whole N1 training thing, Coach Chasm, all that stuff's awesome. There's nits and bits and pieces, but I still don't agree with. But again, if I don't agree with something, well, that's just because I'm going to apply it in a different manner, in a different way, because of exactly what Dylan said. I've practiced, I've played around, I've figured out what I deem works, and we're rolling.
Brain's just over here just like chilling back, popping his fucking biceps while he's fucking saying that last line.
I didn't even realize I was doing it, man. Don't call me out like that.
This is so good that this is not on video. All right, Brain, you wanna hit us with the next one?
Yeah, let me pop open the old phone here where I got the list sitting. All right, well, one of them is, how are you enjoying your gym equipment? So let's not go with that one. how can you tell when someone isn't pushing themselves in the gym?
I'll go first, I guess. Videos are the biggest one.
Yeah.
So seeing if someone actually is taking it to that place, it actually really pisses me off. I don't know about you guys, but I get really emotionally invested into someone when they're fucking training. Like, when I'm watching someone's video, I'm waiting.
Well, I get rattled. And if you're one of my clients, you've probably heard me say a million times, you had more.
Yeah. And they get so, and I'm like, when are you going to understand? And like, you get it from those clients over and over again that don't get it. And you're like, why the fuck are you not getting it? I was like, go until you fucking can't. Their safety's there. Fucking go. And I tell them that all the time. And I'm like, that should be enough to set you off. Like, if I say that, that should be enough to set you off. You can often see it in their physique too, as well. You don't really see measurement changes as much as you do with some people that train really hard. I see a little bit softer physiques. So those are the two kind of indicators, at least that I see, that people really, and what I see, I also see blood glucose usually typically is, there's a lot of different factors into that, obviously, but if you're training really hard, your nutrient positioning is going to be pretty good. I find, at least anecdotally, I see. So those are kind of three things.
I have one unique one that I also use. And I know we've talked about this in other sections, but I look at people's eyes when they're performing a set, man. Where are your eyes? Or like, what, when I look in your eyes, I know what's happening in your head. And if I look in your eyes during your set of you filming and your eyes are batting all over the place and you're looking beside you or whatever, chances are you're not actually pushing yourself. I don't care what your facial expression looks like. Rep speed is another one I watch in the videos. Rep speed is a big one for me, because if you're moving a load extremely fast on your ninth rep and all of a sudden you hit your 10th rep and your 10th rep, you're struggling so hard to get it up. Well, you, like, some people have a very quick decline and fatigue onset, which I actually do. I'll be moving a load pretty good and then I'll have a struggle rep, and then the next rep I just won't hit. But most people, like I said, you can really tell. So those are the things I look for. Obviously, if you go blood work, you're going to see creatinine, you'll see different things raised if somebody actually trains hard, even if you give them a little bit of time off usually, versus if somebody's just kind of going through the motions. Most of the time their shit's gonna look perfect because they're not stressing the body out.
Well, it's fucking awful. The eyes are fucking off. The eyes are so fucking bad. If you haven't seen it, go look at my story from today. You'll see how hard I fucking train. My eyes are closed like majority of that time because I'm fucking in it.
Well, it just tells me, like, if your eyes are batting around the gym, I mean, your brain is somewhere else. You know what I mean? You're actually not connecting to that exercise, because I can't remember the time that I had a large amount of weight on a bar and on my back, and I wanted to see what happened beside me, because what's happening in my head is I'm trying to not get killed. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's different for everyone. That might be at 25 on a bar on either side. But I don't care. That still should be hard enough that your head is like, I need to move this from here to here. And if I don't, it could kill me. Right. And that's, I don't know. I'll leave it at that. But that's, those are some things that I look for. Dill?
Yeah, I'd say the same. I pretty much mirror all that. It's almost like a combination of all of that because.
Yeah.
Let me think about this. The not paying attention is almost always due to an underloading problem.
Yeah.
So then that, you know, so it's just like, because if you pick the right weight, your body will make you pay attention.
100%. Because
it could get hurt, you know? So like, it's only the time when you're flapping around little pterodactyl weights that you shouldn't be is usually when people are not paying attention. Not always, but, you know, so usually you can just, I think, Braden, it's hard to put into words too, because I know you have some experience too, but I still do put some hours like training people in the gym. Like for
I was about to ask about this.
And like pretty good. And you know, now the only people I train are like very hard training athletes. So you just kind of see like what it is to take it there all the time. And I'm watching for patterns like that, you know, and when they're not there, it's just real easy to see like, and usually people that can continue doing rep after rep after rep, usually I'm like, you're not on the muscle, you're just moving load, because that's not really how like firing of a muscle works. You know, if you're staying on the muscle, if you're doing leg extensions and you're not deloading it, you're not going to be able to do like 7 reps past when it looks like you should be feeling, especially if a bunch of other stuff's moving. So like, what's the form like also is something to check.
I was about to say, have you ever observed someone like just like, I know you're big into people doing that. Do you ever just observe and like see someone not go to failure? And then how do you approach them about that situation like then and there? Like,
So like I throw everybody to the wolves, right? So like, not only do you get told that you weren't training hard enough and that you need to put a little bit, I'll just call their, cause like, that's where the experience comes into play.
Yeah.
I'll watch the video. And I'll be like, hey, we need to bump this 25 pounds and I need a +2 reps with that bump next week for sure. I know you have it. Wolf emoji.
Yeah.
And then I send that shit. Yeah. And it's like, now I just told you and everybody else that you are on a team with that you have to do this. So like, I throw people right to the wolves when it comes to that. So it's just tell them this is what needs to happen. Get it done. Move on.
Yeah.
And the biggest one for me, and you did touch on it, Anthony, is results, right? And I've noticed it time and time again. We've talked 100 times about noticing patterns as coaches. Well, the biggest patterns I've noticed is the people that progress the least are the people who are pretending to train hard week after week. They're the people who are not sending videos week after week because they know they're going to be called out and not training hard. And eventually those people do fall off, right? So
yeah, you're very, very right. Because it's hard to keep up a hard training session after session. It's hard for me. It's, you know, like when we're running businesses and stuff and, you know, everyone has lives and different things going on. It's like some days, like tomorrow, I just had a long 5-hour drive. I'm going to work till 10 o'clock. I got to wake up and train quads because I got a week that's where it's going to fit.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's like, damn, that's the way it goes. But like, I'm not necessarily.
You got to make a lot out of that quad day because you only get one of them every fucking, what is it, 14 days?
it's going to happen. So anyway, I'll leave it at that.
But yeah, I just think, like you said, I think it's just, you know, we see it time and time again. It's just, you'll know, like you'll just be able to see someone and you'll be able to know whether they fucking train hard or not. I mean, yeah. I look like a small boy right now, but I have proof that I've put on a good amount of size in the last
for 2 years. Sure.
But I think a lot of people just don't. It's really a shame when you just see it. I get really disappointed when you keep telling them week after week to fucking give it the fucking gas and they don't give it the gas.
Well, it's because you know what they're capable of, right? And that's where I think Dylan hit the nail on the head too, with saying that it stems from having some experience with in-person training, because I've been there so many times pushing people to the point of true failure. And watched people so many times where I was not there and the camera was on, where they would have stopped that set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when I'm actually with these people, even if it's my own athletes and I'm actually training with them in person once in a while, if I ever have the opportunity to, everybody afterwards is like, holy fuck, that was insane. And it's like, that wasn't that insane. I literally just made you get the 3 reps that every week you told me you didn't have.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the bottom line, I think, for that one. So,
because I felt like that when I trained with Braden in person, felt like home. it was like just a little bit of an enhancement over most sets. I was getting a half rep and a half, you know, like one half rep forced and then another one forced, you know, like with some help with perfect squats. But like the intensity, he made me do all the leg exercise videos, so I was tired out. But other than that,
thrown under the bus, bro.
You know what? We had a pull day coming up. My back is shit. I needed to improve my back. I had to preserve my energy for the next morning. Okay.
Look at this guy. You
know, hey, Anthony, I told him we started reviewing all these things so we could cue them, and I'm like, Dylan hamstring, Dylan leg extension, Dylan pendulum, Dylan hack squat. No wonder I couldn't walk off.
Dylan Smith squat. Dylan RDL. It's like, oh, Dylan did everything.
All right, you're up there, Ant. What you got, buddy?
Females. This is actually a really good one because I think we all have some different views on this. Females and low dietary fat. How low is too low for lifestyle versus prep and harsh diet?
That's a great question. Actually, who wants to go first?
I'll take the first one.
Right.
Well, if you're talking about a prep, too low is not a thing. I mean, you're going to take things as low as you need to win. If you're actually a serious athlete that literally wants to achieve pretty crazy things, in my opinion, you're going to have to push things probably sometimes harder than others. That doesn't mean that some athletes won't be able to sit at 60 grams of fat going into the final weeks of prep. And that doesn't mean that some athletes will be on 20. Whatever it takes to win. And that's a firm fact, but you better know how the hell to fix that afterwards. And that's where a lot of these problems come from. People don't know how to, like at the end of the day, when you're getting that lean, you're going to have hormone dysfunction. You're going to have all this shit. A lot of amenorrhea is going to present itself. There's going to be a lot of these things that happen. And quite frankly, like, I don't know many women who win at top levels that keep their period all the way through preps. And I just mean that wholeheartedly, right? And why would you keep dietary fats in to prevent hormone downregulation and so forth, but you get that lean, it's going to happen, right? So again, is there a threshold? For sure. But I think as a coach, especially if you're talking about prep athletes and you start getting too concerned about the numbers and not dropping fats below a certain number, that's where you shoot yourself in the foot and you're not going to get somebody to stage winning condition.
What about lifestyle people?
Oh, I mean, lifestyle people, I don't know if I have an arbitrary number in the same sense, but I have kind of whereabouts, and it's roughly I can manipulate other foods, right? So again, this question, does a lifestyle person mean, are they enhanced or are they not enhanced, right? And that's where I'm not going to sit here and put a number on it, period. Am I going to push a lifestyle person to 20 grams of fat in a diet phase? Absolutely fucking not. Will I bring it down to 40 on training days and maybe 50, 60 on rest days? Probably, yeah. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, if you're still getting dietary fats in the diet, depending if you do kind of a training, non-training day diet, well, if they have three non-training days a week and you're giving them 70 grams of fat on those days, you probably could push training day fats a little lower, right? So again, that's kind of my opinion there. I just don't think a lot of this number and arbitrary number thing really means a lot. I think it comes back to how is the person, how is their blood work, how do things look? And realistically, some people could probably have pretty damn good blood work on 30 grams of fat a day. Some would have absolutely disgusting blood work, right? So paying attention to the feedback, paying attention to how people feel and what's actually happening with the physique and going from there.
I tend to agree with most of that. I think that it just needs-based coaching will derive the number. So that's real simple. But I would like to add my own personal caveat, and I'm not saying everyone has to buy into this or agree with it. 18 to 22-year-old female, first prep, I don't think I'm dropping her below 15 grams of fat.
Oh, well, you gotta take into consideration, she's also probably not on a national stage. She's probably, and if she is.
No, of course not. But no, I still agree with the first mindset. In almost any, you know, even 25-year-old first-time competitor, it's like, do I want them that low? Absolutely not. But if I needed to for a certain period of time, I might. This is a specific age situation caveat.
Yeah.
Almost nothing outside of this.
Yeah.
I agree with the original mindset of whatever it takes. If you decide you're competing at any level, you should want to kind of, because that's that's the purpose of hiring a coach that can reverse the known side effects of getting shredded. It's not healthy. Don't compete if you want to be healthy. They're not the same thing. You know, it's like, can you be healthy a lot of the time while having a competition career? Yes. But at the time when you're going to be stepping around that stage, if you're super healthy, you're probably not ready. So I would say that, but even with that context, I would say this specific, I just think I know a little bit too much about female physiology and the reproductive systems. And I've helped so many of these cases that I'm like, it just wasn't, why was it the time right this year? Why couldn't they, they've never felt a real diet before. Never mind going into like where your body feels like it may never reproduce again at that age. It's a very, I would watch out for that. But other than that,
I have a, let me put up a scenario in front of you. You got a 22-year-old athlete. She's a month and a half out. You know, she's got more fat to lose. Her carbs are already quite low, proteins on a low end already. And you got a little bit of fats in there. She knows she needs to be leaner. She comes to you and tells you need to be leaner. Realistically, the only place you can really change and manipulate foods is coming from her fats. And she's maybe almost made it clear that she wants a dietary change. And you're in your head, you're thinking, well, is she going to leave me if I don't make this change? What do you do?
It's a great question. And I'm not sure. I think it would depend a lot on the relationship that was built up to that. So like the context is hard to recreate. Cause like, do I have their trust? How long have they been working with me? All of that, but I'll play. Cause I like fun, tough, challenging ultimatums, let's say. I would look for any solution possible to not do that. And I would argue that I'm a very resourceful man and I will find one. But if there wasn't and she was on board with it, I might.
Yeah. I only ask that situation because I know how hard it is if a situation, like a place to be an answer. So my answer to that is I'm going to sit down and I'm going to have an actual phone call with that person. I'm going to express what that could look like 15 years down the road, what that could look like 10 years down the road, 2 years down the road. I'm going to lay out all the scenarios that could happen. And I'm going to say to them, listen, you're depleted. You're dieted right now. You've worked this hard to get here. I realize your decision-making isn't the best, but this is a decision you can't come back from if something goes haywire. I have the tools to potentially help you afterwards, but there is no guarantee ever with that. And that's where we go back to the conversation of this is a risk of the job. You're 22 years old. Your goal is to be on a national stage in 8 weeks and you're 4.5 weeks out of your first show or your warm-up show or whatever. And your fats are at 50 grams of fat and I got nothing else to pull. Well, you know what I mean? Like that's the conversation I'm going to have. And I'm going to let them know, like, there is no guarantee this gets you to where you want to be. There is no guarantee that you can come back from this in a healthy manner. There is no guarantee that there's no repercussions down the road. But if you're willing to decide all of this, I'm willing to take you where you need to go because I'm here to help you win.
Yeah, that's a good way. I think what I was, because I would rephrase now because it's like I'm still too individual needs based. So I can't even make a caveat. Except 100%. I guess what I would like to say then is I think it's because I have something I want to say that I believe to be true, which is I wish more coaches would approach the situation that I laid out with a little bit more thought. So the chances of that happening are much lower because it happens all the fucking time. Yeah. And I'm the person who they come to deal with it. So that's more so what it is that like, I don't think you and I are almost ever in that situation because we're trying to map out for, and I think there's a lot of poor coaching calls very early on that lead to that situation that could be avoided. So I guess
this is another reason why I'm walking away from, for the most part, taking people on at 16 weeks out, 14 weeks out of a show saying, hey, can you try me for this show? Because half the time I get these girls that come to me, they're on 1800 calories and their fats are already at 40 grams. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so I have room to play with a little bit of your calories, but knowing that you're a bikini athlete, you're going to be 100 pounds on stage. You might have to eat 900 calories by the end of your prep, but you're starting in a position where you're already on the low end and your hormone dysfunction is going to kick in here at about 13 weeks out.
Way further out, right?
Yeah, you're gonna ride that hormone dysfunction for a long ass time versus quickly in and out. You're not gonna have that hit around week five, like 5 weeks out, and ride that for a month and a little bit, and then we get you the hell out of there and figure out how to fix it. It's more so, okay, well, you're already fucked up and you're gonna be more fucked up in 3 weeks' time, and then we're riding and battling, and it's not gonna produce the same results anyways. And unfortunately, I've decreased it a lot. I've still said yes in some of these scenarios, and I'm really firm on it now that like I'm just not going to do it anymore. And if that means I lose an athlete in the future because they weren't mature enough as an athlete to either hire me for an off season and realize the importance of an off season and building up metabolic rate and having food reserves heading into a prep and be having a really healthy start to a prep, that's okay. Somebody else will do it. And unfortunately, it's probably not going to be the healthiest way. You might step on a stage beside one of my athletes and you might look great, but I'm not going to lose sleep over it because at the end of the day, I made a decision and I'm cool with that.
I will approach my answer with another caveat, because I deal more with the hormonal health cases out of probably everyone. Me and Dylan probably do here. I would say I don't dip below a certain value on those certain cases. In those things, I won't give a number just because I don't think it's right. Because I think a lot of things, like Dylan said, it's very needs-based. And I think a lot of things is actually with these things, I find what can you actually absorb?
Are you referring to during a hormone dysfunction case?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a whole new ball game.
I also go by, even if it's prep, I mean, I'm saying lifestyle in general, though. Lifestyle in general is how much you can absorb. Because I find a lot of people actually struggle with absorbing fats in their diet, and you have to be careful over how much fat you truly start to produce, because then it's just how much fat they're consuming, because it's just not going to have, like, you're just going to get backlash from that. I won't go below a certain level for lifestyle people, because most of those, you can't, like, they need those fats, right? Like,
100%.
You can't push those limits. You could probably push the 40 gram limit if you do, like you said, like you have those days where you do 70 grams of fat on those rest days where you absolutely hammer home really good, like omega-3s and really good, like.
Well, here's my caveat with it. Here's my argument to what I was saying with that is your body doesn't know when you give it 40 grams of fat one day and 70 the next. Your body doesn't go, holy shit, I'm going to turn on hormone dysfunction. I'm going to downregulate your hormones because you're eating 40 grams of fat today. Oh my goodness. And then the next day it's like, oh wow, your hormones are going to be cranked through the roof today because you gave me 70 grams of fat. You know what I mean? It doesn't really do that. It's more so like a chronic thing that happens over time.
Yep.
When the exposure is a long period of time. And that's one of the, that's why like diet breaks and stuff are really cool and important to utilize.
Yeah. So I say I don't dip below thing, but it's very much with Dylan's answer where it's needs-based. Like what can the person truly absorb when it comes down to it? I won't go below a certain point though, for the sake of that hormonal health case. And those things, typically that's around 40 to 50 grams. Anywhere around there, I won't play around very long if I'm playing in that zone. It's a very quick, I have a reason for being there. But most of the time my fats for females are 50 plus typically. I don't know about you guys, but that's where, I mean, I got some girls' fats up to 100 grams at one point. So
yeah.
Yeah, who has the first question? Dylan has the first question. So Dylan, what do you got?
Can I add one more piece to that ties in our last question?
Yeah.
Yep.
The harder you train, the higher you're probably going to be able to keep your fat intake.
Yep. Yes.
Realistically. And so train fucking hard.
And your carbs, which is why we like to have people, which is why we like to have people a year before you're actually going to prep. So we have time to tell you how to train hard and teach you how to train hard, because we see those videos that you're not training hard. So if you're not training hard, you're not going to get a lot of food. It's just how things work.
Oh, well, let's put it this way. If you're not training hard, just try not to hire me, please.
Yeah, there you go.
Or any of us.
Yeah.
This isn't the right chip either for that program.
No.
Okay, so I have another one. My questions are kind of fun today. I don't know why I like these ones. But anyway, and I'm making a rule to this question, especially for Braden mostly. It's not Anthony. Sorry, Braden. But
yes.
When it says, this question could be 9 hours long, and I want it to be like fun, like off the hip.
Okay.
So you have to, there's a part that says pick two. You can only just pick two topics and fucking not expand on it at all.
I hope it's kill one, marry one, fuck one.
No, it's not that.
Damn it. I was really hoping it was that too. Fuck.
Got it. It says, if you all have, I just like the question's insights. All
right.
If you had to pick two specialties or niches and give credit to each other, what would they be? So I think, and I think I can expand on the question. It's something like, you know, like if I was looking at, you know, someone like Dean St. Mart, it's like, clearly he's a PED expert. Like, I'm sure he has a lot of knowledge on training and you got a PhD and you like training. You don't know nothing. But like which two kind of like niches, if you were just like, oh yeah, that's my guy right there. That's where I'm going. What would you say they would be?
I got Dylan.
It's actually one or two, but
I got Dylan's.
Sorry. Are we saying it about each other or
each other? Which is fun because it's like, oh, yeah. It's not what you think about yourself. Okay. It's what your friends think about you in front of a camera.
I got Dylan on fucking lock.
Okay.
Psychology.
Sure.
And organ meats.
Sure. Okay. I'll take it.
Well, are we supposed to expand or no? Are we supposed to expand or no?
You don't have to expand if you don't want to, but you can.
Okay. Dylan always preaches organ meats, so go follow his page if you want to learn about organ meats. And the man, I mean, no, it's actually really cool how Dylan actually implements that, and it's really cool how he relies on more actual natural pathways to actually get people healthy and do that. And I've even implemented those things into it, and I've seen him kind of show me why we should do it. So that's great. And then the way that Dylan handles clients, like in general, just like the mindset and how he really fine tunes someone and really allows and digs into that person and coaches them exactly how they need. I'm saying there's all a flaw in this industry. And I think Dylan's really filling it with what does that person exactly need and how do they exactly need to be coached? So that's definitely that. I would say Braden, definitely. I would say one, I'm not going to go with more of the coaching thing, but I'm going to go more of how I see things from where my standpoint and where I want to get to business-wise. I think he's done everything by the book. Absolutely. And he's expanded a team that's great. And it's something that I look up to, and it's something that I want to grow very much the same. And then I would also say, to truly be honest, I give Braden a ton of effort for just training in general. I think he's really, really smart with execution and how to actually cue people and things. And he gets his point across very, very simple. And that goes a long way. I think a lot of people try to overdo training. And I think we all, I mean, Dylan is also really good at training too as well. I think a lot of people try to overdo cues and try to, like you even mentioned before, overdo like foot positionings and things like that. Like there's a time and place for those, but I think Braden really simplifies it enough to, and you see it in his athletes and how much they're improving, that he really has dialed in how to cue people the absolute correct way. So there's my dick ride. There's my dick ride for the night.
Thank you, sir. I can, I'll go Dill. So I'm going to actually piggyback off Anthony here, and I'm going to use psychology as one. And the reason I'm going to say that, and I'll give just a brief explanation, is I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And I personally know if I was to choose one gap in my own coaching, it may be being able to psychologically meet somebody where they need me to be. And I'm not, and I'll just blatantly say it, I'm not there all the time. I'm a very caring and compassionate person, but sometimes my compassion comes through in a different way than somebody needs to hear it. And the people that excel the most with me are the people that are okay with that or can adapt to that. And the people that are very, and I don't want to put anybody in a box here, but people that are very, very fragile often struggle a little bit. Now, that's not to say we can't figure it out together, but I know for a fact through the conversations I've had with Dylan, we've had some really, really deep intellectual conversations together, even like when he was at my house and we kind of smoked some dope and got into one. he's got a very unique input there, because he's actually invested, like my time's been more so invested into learning PEDs, learning nutrition, learning training, learning that side of it. And then obviously, like you mentioned, the business side. Whereas I think part of what Dylan's dove into is the psychology of coaching and understanding coaching and speaking with athletes and helping bring out, meeting athletes kind of where they are and being able to speak to that athlete and say what they need to hear. And the message might be the same that we're getting across, but it just might be conveyed different in what the way he's putting it out there. So I really like that with Dill. I think it's helped me learn a little bit. It's helped me really push myself to be better in those areas. And again, I'm also not trying to fit myself into a box and realize that I'm going to change who I am and speak to people completely differently. Right. And that's not what I'm saying Dylan does, but for me, it's just an area that I know I need to work on. And that's why I really appreciate that Dylan brings that to the table. And another one, I really like Dylan's supplement knowledge. He obviously being an owner of supplement stores, and I'm not just talking performance supplements like creatine and EAAs. I know for a fact he's very similar to myself, that when like he gets fixated on figuring out what something does, he's going to depth end to figure out what that thing fucking does, right? And then he'll also take the shots with it, before he even feels maybe he's ready to, and he'll just fucking throw that dart, which is pretty cool. And you know what? I mean, when you have, when you build a culture that people are willing to be the dartboard and fucking do what you say, even if they know the outcome might not be exactly what it is, but you will get where you need to be. It's pretty cool. So the supplement knowledge and the psychology side is a big one for me. And I'll go you now, Anthony. No, it's all good, man. And I think one of the biggest ones that I really, really appreciate about you is your eagerness to learn and the fact that you are always learning. And that's why you're going to continue to be a great coach, and you're going to just get better and better as a coach. And the athletes you do currently work with are pretty lucky to have you, because you've done things the right way. When I started out coaching, I kind of threw myself into it, and I knew a lot, but there was a lot I had to learn. And some say that's a really good way to learn, is to learning how to do things the wrong way to figure out how to do things the right way. But I think you've taken the approach of learning things how to do the right way, investing in your education, and doing a lot of shit that some of these coaches I wish out there did, because I see the shit they're doing and it's dangerous, and it just doesn't belong in our industry. And you're not one of those guys. So your eagerness to continually learn and ability to continue to learn and then apply that knowledge is a really good one. And I'm talking so much, I'm almost forgetting what the fuck we're doing here. we're speaking about the traits of each other. So, and I would say another one with Anthony is going to be his prowess with health cases, because like you said, he's got a lot of them and he's really elevated. And I've had some conversations with him about some of this stuff. We all just shoot the shit. We have a chat where we just talk. And I've just seen him put some really, really good information out there. And it's one of those things where when the three of us are in our chat, we'll share cases with each other and say, hey, what would you guys do here? Or what do you see here in this situation? And Anthony, with the education that he's established through the previous point I made, he's really able to just pinpoint some things. And whether we all agree on a certain thing, it doesn't matter. Like, I could throw in there and I know exactly what I'm looking at and I know what I need to do, but we'll just throw it in there and get other opinions. And a lot of the time it might be a differing opinion getting us to the same destination, but at the end of the day, we're throwing solutions out that work. And it just basically speaks to the knowledge that he's learned, but then being able to apply it. So I think both of those, and I think the results speak for themselves when you have somebody who can fix SIBO, who can fix amenorrhea, and these things that are talked about by everybody in the industry right now, but nobody knows how the fuck to deal with it, right?
Yeah, I really like that also. So I'll go Anthony first. Anthony, I think kind of the same thing. I was going to say, like, your ability to handle blood work and sort of the way that you take a bird's eye view of a health case, and then you're very good at simplifying that down to make it digestible and deliverable to the client. And I know that because of the way you deliver it to me if I ask your opinion. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is delivered in a way that, like, the client could probably understand it, because I have a lot of knowledge. It's super simple this way. But, like, you know, I'm always like, yeah, good for him. And I do want to also just piggyback you all at another one, but piggyback Braden, because I didn't do a lot of the right things. You know, like, I try to be the person for, you know, somebody that I wish I had, you know, now, because you've learned things in the proper order. You've stepped in the ring in the proper order, and I commend you for that. And, you know, like, there's some people that still don't like me to this day because I didn't do that. Like, and we're talking a decade ago almost, but it's like, well, I didn't do it. So, like, what do you want me to do now? I'm here though. You know, like, I have to continue on. But, you know, I'm real proud of you for that. I think it's something that's hard to do when you're young, and it's easy to see that fruit on the tree that you could just grab, but you're letting the tree grow and really cultivate into something before you just start trying to harvest it. And I think that that's very commendable. And it's almost non-existent in your generation. And I sound like an old boomer now, but that's what I see. You know, like, it's almost dead. That is almost dead. And because we have an instant gratification.
Oh, I could agree so fucking much with that. Everyone wants now. Everyone wants the final destination now and isn't willing to take the time to do it right from the bat.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. So kind of your, if I was, you know, blood work, the other thing that I think you do really well is I think your clients probably like, once they get to know you, because I like it about you, that you're very willing and open to learn something. and try and apply it in the best way possible. And you're always continuing to try and be better. I think that that trait is very, very, its power is misunderstood and not, it's underutilized. If you just always are trying to make friends with what you don't know versus what you do, you'll end up in a way better spot because there's way more stuff you don't know than what you do. You'll get bored of those same friends, so to speak. And that's how you can die on these hills where you have these guys just like repeating the same old information from 10, 20 years ago, trying to say it's the way that everyone did it. So that's the way you have to do it now. And it's the way that I did it. And because I know everything and people should follow my exact storyline. It's like, no, you're creating your own storyline. And I think that's very commendable also for a young person because it's hard to not get swayed by outside influence, like Braden said, especially right now when there's a lot of people coming in the industry and it's growing. So great work, man. And now I'll go with Braden, my man. So Braden, if I was to pick some things I really liked about having Braden and just some of the things I picked up from him is like, obviously he coaches me. We talk a lot. We educate together, you know, so we've done a lot of things now. And I've learned about every subject from Braden, but specifically the one or two things that come to mind for me, he's honestly like one of the more positive male role models that I look up to in my life because he's always very able to keep me going on the right track when I want to fucking derail myself, which is quite often, to be honest. I'm very, very sensitive to negative emotion because I don't understand a lot of the weird dramas and things of people's natures, you know, especially on social media. And it's hard on me, you know, like I didn't grow up in a place that had this access. I'm new to all this technology, sort of, so to speak. And it's like, I'm very deep and I can't look at things at such a low resolution. The Braden's so good for me. And that's why, you know, I'm real grateful that I get to work with him because he's got a very good way of coaching people to be their best simply. And I think that that's also misunderstood and misunderutilized. You know, it's just like, hey, he's really good at making people find the strength that they didn't know they had, but without overcomplicating the process, if I get that. I think that probably comes as a very high level athlete, specifically Canadian hockey, you know? So I know a lot of people like that because of where I'm from. And it's like that, I can feel that energy on all those types of people. It's a cultural thing. It's really cool. And it's cool that you've brought it into bodybuilding specifically. And I would say the second thing is Braden's very good at independent thought process because he's very disagreeable. So he basically thinks everybody is wrong until they've proven him not to be, you know? So like, if I tell him like, hey, this works, he's never just going to be like, okay. It's going to be like, well, how does it work? Why is it work? What time? In what context? But I like that. I'm sounding like cynical about that. I'm not, because I'm a lot like that.
The exact same fucking way.
imagine if we just had conversations to bridge, just like.
I know. So like, because what I learn via sort of watching and hearing and extracting things. So then it always has me and Braden having conversations. And I always find myself learning stuff inside the conversations that were not on the original subject material that we was agreed upon in the conversation. Like we're talking about a case and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, you use that supplement for that thing? Wouldn't it be useful for this too? And it's like, yeah. And all of a sudden you start talking about where you used it, how you used it. And I find that very useful. So the experience you bring to my life, at least, and I think all of your athletes is super valuable.
Cool. So this turned into a giant heart to heart, and I'm feeling really good about this right now. Yeah. So now love you, boys.
Now I'm gonna get off this and go sit on my soapbox and just fucking.
Well, it was a good question. I had a feeling it would be a good.
That was a really good question. I like that. You know what? It brings a different perspective to this Q&A, and I think we all bring different things to the table, and I think that's why we get along so well. And like I said, I don't think people understand the extent of which the three of us do interact. Just even small interactions throughout the day, and it's we're always learning and growing from each other, so it's really, really cool.
I think it's cool. Not gonna lie, I will say I think that's been the cool part of this, and this is where, you know, I'm gonna go back because Dylan said he was new to everything, and I remember when we started podcasting, Dylan would just use his phone, Like, Dylan didn't have a computer. Like, I remember getting off our fucking podcast and Dylan's like, I should probably invest in a computer. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, yeah, you probably should. I was like, your client tells me.
Dude, the guy coached off his the guy coached off his phone until a couple months ago, and we forced him.
Yeah,
forced
he's him coaching all through WhatsApp. Like, he still coaches all through. He still coaches all through WhatsApp, but of course he has different systems now. But it's like he was literally coaching just through WhatsApp and what people were telling him each week. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, all my information is in WhatsApp. I'm like, how the fuck are you doing this? but I remember the I remember those moments. And then, you know, I remember how close Dylan and I got from even just starting it. And it's cool that we've been able to bring in a third person into the mix in Braden. And he's more and it's more so pretty cool because I would say he really kind of fit the mesh of everything. Like sometimes I've had people on the podcast before and things like that where I don't mesh with people and it kind of feels like forced. And I don't like that about podcasts. Like, that's not how I like to run my podcast, like doing it now for so long. I could say there's probably been about four or five episodes where I feel like things have been forced and it just doesn't turn into the podcast episode that I want it to be. Whereas these episodes that we've been able to create now on these, like every single Monday that we release is just like, it's us just meshing. And I really like, I want to emphasize Braden's point that he just said, where I don't think people understand to the extent. Like, we're always bullshitting with each other. Like, we're always showing, like, our clients, like, what we're doing. Like, we're always going through blood work. Like, I even, like, as much as these guys commended me for my fucking knowledge, I don't say I know everything, right? Like, that case the other day, like, I went to you guys. I was like, I've never seen this many things in a row. Or we even had a few things, but Dylan didn't know something. And we also didn't have an answer. And guess what? I just ended up having a meeting with Austin and be like, hey, let's ask the question because we're gonna get a really good answer here.
Well, that's just it. If there's no answer, I'll tell you what, we're gonna fucking figure it out.
we're gonna find a way.
It's gonna piss the three of us off enough that we're gonna figure it out. So if one of our clients is listening to this and you at some point come to any one of us with a situation that we're like, I don't know if I can figure this out. Well, I'll tell you right now, between the three of us, we're going to fucking figure it out because we get pissed off to the point we can't not figure it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have a colitis and SIBO case that I've spent $1,000 of my own money looking for answers.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, no, not because I want to learn a bunch of this. It's for you specifically. You know, it's like, that's because I want to nail it, you know? So
I'm just happy we got the group that I really enjoy like podcasting with every weekend, because it's just like pretty cool to have all of us together and we all have the same mindset when it comes down to our knowledge and where we see each other going in this industry, which I know I'm still very much on the beginning of my journey and you guys are very much like on the middle way of this and you've found your path. And even though you guys are expanding your paths,
Let me correct you there. I'm still in the beginning too, bro.
I know. I'm at the start line still. Like, that's kind of the crazy thing. So it's pretty cool to have all of us have different experiences where we've been, and bring that to the table for you guys, which is why we do these Q&As in the first place. Because each of us have some sort of different perspective. Like we said, we all know how to get somewhere. It's just how the journey actually ends up is very much different for each of our athletes, no matter what. So it's been pretty cool to kind of have Braden come on and Dylan start. We started this back in, I think August or September was our first episode. We never saw this going anywhere until the first episode. We got done the first episode. We're like, yeah, this is the fucking shit. Yeah, we're like, we're going to be the fucking shit.
It was fun. It was real fun. I have something to, only because I wanted to bring it up, but then Braden had a lot to say, so I was like, oh wait, so I wrote it down, because you guys both credited me for some of the psych stuff, let's say.
Yeah.
And how I actually got interested in this, because I want to play out my thought process, and I think you guys will just be like, oh, that makes total sense, because I got to give credit where credit's due. Netflix is the reason that I know about this. No, I mean this, because about 2 years ago, I wasn't even coaching yet, like, again, let's say, and I was just starting to think about it, and that show came on about Michael Jordan, and it was also a lot about his coach, like, when he played for the Bulls, and the team that the Chicago Bulls were when, like, Rodman was on it, and Michael Jordan, was a documentary series.
Awesome. Dude, that show was so fucking sick.
So good. Oh,
so good.
Right?
So good.
Well, I watched it three times.
Yeah, so it's really good. That just sort of, and it's not, I didn't learn, like, really anything about about coaching necessarily, like from the documentary, what I learned was the spark. And that's how my mind works. It set off this kind of spark that was like, wait a second. If I'm thinking about the best athletes in the world and my sense of how they come up to that point, let's say, a lot of them, you know, have people that are very good athletes are a lot of times we're not, there's things that are not necessarily screwed in the right direction every which way.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. No, but really, you know, like it's like if you can push yourself to the bounds of, you know, like people like, you know, all these great athletes that can just push themselves, Olympic athletes, all these type of people, you got to really have some, you know, internal motivation to do that. Anyway, the point is, I thought, well, man, everyone's so different. Like, there's no way these guys are showing up for college football, you know, and they're all, they all come from different backgrounds and upbringings. And a lot of them are, you know, not super luxurious lifestyles. It's like, you have to figure out how to get the, that kid to be the best running back. So, you know, that's your job. And I thought, man, that's got to have more than just like a system of coaching. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way that you can become the best coach in the world at something and have like, I run people through this ideology system. And I felt like that's what I a little bit did in the past. And I also feel like that's what a lot of people do. And then that led me to like, oh, wow, sports psychology literature. There's a lot. Oh, wow, there's a lot of books on this. Wow. And it kind of just like then the rabbit hole, as Braden always says, spins down. And it just made so much sense to me that like, my job isn't like telling the same players, all of them, the same raw speech. Yes, we can have a team speech. It's like, okay, we're getting on the field. This is what I want to see execute. But like in between plays, all that stuff, the way that the coach would interact with the player is individual. It's like, well, okay, Braden, I know, is a hothead, right? So like if I tell him to do this in a certain way and he's all mad already that he missed that last goal, it's not going to go well, but I need him to do this. So like here, I'm going to try to communicate this with him. They're for sure doing that in some sense. It's like, that's how the greatest coaches are for sure operating in my sense. And that's what I try to, am trying to design.
I'll give credit.
But if you were my coach and you were talking to me, it was never about scoring a goal. It was about beating somebody's head in. So that's a pretty easy decision to have. Hey man, go stop, go beat that guy. that's awesome. And that makes obviously a ton of sense. And even, I mean, you see some of the guys that I look up to the most talk about the culture and mindset and the way they coach. Nick Saban, right? Like Matt Jansen speaks
super, about super, super intelligent coaches.
And that dove me into kind of learning about some of these coaches as well, but not to the degree that you went with the actual psych side. Cause I'd say you saw it and you were like, I need to tap into this and figure out how this works. And then you went to the sports psychology, whereas I for myself didn't dive in that deep. I just kind of read about
I can answer that. That's because you don't need to. I was a fat nerd boy who lived alone on an isolated fucking ranch farm, so like it's like it was all new to me. That's the whole
point. I didn't have the experience.
You like actually lived this shit. That's why you're a good bodybuilder. I had to teach myself discipline and all these types of things, right? So it was like, oh, and then because I had got to a point where I felt like I was actually what I was reading about, I got through that naturally making a bunch of mistakes. Then I could reverse engineer the whole timeline and figure out like, oh, I made a good choice there. That helped my adherence, discipline, etc. So it helped me kind of figure out if someone is at the bottom and you're trying to pull them up the ladder, what snakes they're going to run into and what's mole traps, and I can avoid them around them a little bit better. And that's all I try to do. It's not really about changing how I talk. I'm me to everybody. It's just like the message that I'm relaying. I could say it five different ways and just with different sentence fragmenting and stuff. And some of might take it a little bit differently as well.
I want to give a few credits to people too, because you guys brought up blood work and how well I am with my knowledge and how well I speak. A lot of it's from Austin. Yeah, it's like the amount that Austin has taught me and how to simplify things is from him and just testing me, consistently testing me on blood work. And the amount of times I've seen blood work now and how I'm able to pinpoint things, it's pretty fast. I remember how complicated I used to make my write-ups to him, and it used to be pages and pages long. And now it's like, okay, ding, in like 5 minutes. So it's like, you got it. Like, I give it a lot to Austin, him testing me and him having the patience to deal with a newer coach who's new to most of the shit in this industry. And then the other thing that you guys said is kind of, I'm always willing to get better. To bring in a personal note here, I mean, it's from my past, right? A lot of things is the way we're shaped is from our past. I was always told I was never good enough for a lot of things. So to really start to see things click with something such as coaching, which I will still say I'm probably not good enough at every single point in time. It convinces me that I'm always wanting to get better and see and like hanging out with people who are better. I know I have to get better. So that just drives me to get better. So that's why I hang out with you guys like all the time, because it just keeps driving me to keep going. But it just comes from past relationships with my dad and things like that, that I've always known that I need to get better at everything that I do. And he ingrained that in me very much since my childhood. So those are the two things. Like I always say, I never give my dad credit for a lot of things, but my dad taught me, as the only male grandchild in the family, he had a lot of pressure of raising me, to truly be honest. And I never gave him kind of the credit that he's due. So Steven, that's for you.
Attaboy, Steven.
I love it.
Are we done with the questions now, or are we still going?
Well, I know someone has a call in like 14 minutes, so just do.
I have a couple more here too.
Yeah, fast fire. Do we have quick fire?
Yeah, let's do any kind of rapid fire.
Okay, so there's one that I know one of my clients is begging for us to answer. Good. So I'm gonna put this on you boys first.
Okay.
Why does alcohol affect blood glucose so drastically, and sometimes even for days after?
Because it's a toxin to the body. And if your
liver, okay, good, perfect.
If it's a toxin to your body and your liver has to address the toxins within your body, and it can I think it could take like a week to even empty out the alcohol that's in your system. So think about your body is taking away time that it should be getting rid of toxins and getting rid of things, and it's not being able to do what its job is. And so
you just pulled it out of homeostasis, basically.
Yeah.
Yep. If your liver is sluggish, which most people's are, then the bile ducts aren't clearing that good, and it stays in chemistry in your system for 5 to 7 days. So it makes perfect sense.
I got a really funny thing to add to this. So the reason this question was asked, because I told her why exactly, or I told her.
Thank you.
The reason her blood glucose is spotless most of the time. And then this individual leaned on a bottle of wine for a little bit. For the days following, it continued to stay up. And I said, well, I'll tell you exactly why that stayed up. What day did you have your wine? When I seen you on Instagram having the wine. And she said, and told me the day. And I said, well, look at the days proceeding with blood glucose. Look at the numbers. And that was exactly why she asked it. So
that's fun.
And that's basically what I said. It's a toxin. Your body identifies, like, if you actually go into it, your body doesn't look at alcohol as a carbohydrate or a protein or a fat or anything. It's its own fuel source. That's the only other macronutrient, essentially, but it will try to create sugars and stuff. And it's a toxin in the body. You throw it off, the body's trying to figure out what the fuck's going on.
You want to improve? Don't fucking drink alcohol. It's as simple as that. If you want to, if your hormones are fucked up, don't drink alcohol.
Here's the way I look at it, man. Here's the way I look at it. You know, and everyone shits on nicotine, but at least nicotine has some cool properties that you can use it for and utilize it for. Alcohol has no cool properties you can utilize it for. None.
It's getting fucking wasted.
Getting fucked up and blacked out. None.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. You guys have another question?
Do we have a rapid fire? Do we have something that we can answer quickly? I have a question that's very, very long, so I'm gonna save this for the next time. I have the screen.
I got one that I can fire off and answer for really quick, where you guys can either or. Waist trainers, a lot of female athletes wear useless, like I think, or useful.
Useless, like I think. I never use them. I can't say per se, but.
I can give my opinion, and I have this conversation with most athletes. I think they're useful, but not for the purpose people think they're useful for. I don't think wearing a waist trainer is going to shrink your waist. I think it's going to teach you how to actually engage your core properly. When you have something cinched tight around your core, even the belt, you naturally are going to engage, because tell me the last time you put a training belt on and you just let your gut out fully relaxed and into that. You don't. You're engaged. Your core's engaged. You pull that thing tight. You get it on. You wear that for a couple hours while you're training, while you're doing cardio in the mornings, when you're walking around your house, whatever. It's going to help you keep that core engaged and keep the stomach pulled in tight. Boom. I think it's useful in that sense. I don't think it's going to shrink anybody's waist or make their actual structure smaller, because, well, you ain't going to shrink bone unless, especially like when you're talking about hip structure and rib cage and stuff, unless you're actually wearing a corset for a very, very, very long period of time. But you are an athlete if you're doing that, because you could not train in that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Braden.
Me too. That's all we needed.
All right.
I have one too. It could be fast depending on how Braden answers it.
I like to talk.
It says, did you ask Braden to work for him or did he ask you? And how did you guys get linked up? And I was like, oh, that's actually a pretty good question.
It's actually a good question.
I can answer it super simply. I asked Dylan to work for me because I believed in everything he did. He was an athlete for me, and we had some really educational conversations, and I was able to extract the idea that he was very knowledgeable. He had the right purposes behind what he was doing, and he wanted to continue to grow as a coach. And there was an opportunity for me to improve my team and my business and improve my own knowledge, while also, I believed, helping him grow as a coach and improving his knowledge. And quite frankly, I'm just going to fucking say it here, taking over Canada as the best coaching team in Canada. And hope you're here for it.
Boom shakalaka. Yeah,
I love it, man. I it was interesting because I did kind of know about Braden before I hired him, and actually through Anthony, which is weird because Braden and I only live like 4 or 5 hours apart. And it's weird because him and Anthony actually knew each other, and they live way farther than that apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had never really heard of Braden, but Braden leans, you know, Braden, that's why I think there's such value for me, is because Braden has a lot of experience with athletes and things like that. And that's something I'm interested in doing. So I viewed it also like a chance to be a part of a great team. I liked a lot of the systems and the people behind the brand. I like Braden. We get along great. It's like a brother to me now. And, you know, he's doing some great stuff with my coaching himself. So I trust his knowledge. I think we can learn a lot from each other. And we, like I said, we're very disagreeable. So we learn a lot when we talk because we have to argue with each other.
100%. 100%.
Awesome. Well, that was the episode, guys. Great. That was a great fucking Q&A, by the way. We did way better than our first ever Q&A. I think our first Q&A, we answered like 3 questions. This time,
yeah,
we doubled the amount of questions that we answered. So I think we did pretty good this time.
And it's nice. It's nice because we didn't rapid fire them so fast. We didn't dive into anything to explain it to. We still explain things, but in a manner that we're not here for the next 4 hours.
Yes. So, if you guys, like we said, every third week we're going to do this. So you guys will see question boxes. Unfortunately, our question boxes came a little late this week. The week kind of blew by all of us, to truly be honest. So we'll make sure to get better with that and releasing boxes like throughout the week, so you guys can get over all your questions if you want. But keep participating because we absolutely love these.
100%.
In general, we will send out an actual topic box probably within the next 2 days, so we can develop a topic over something that you guys want us to talk about, so we can do a deep dive next week into a topic, because you guys absolutely smoked that nutrient timing episode. I think we got like 300 downloads on that episode, so you guys have absolutely enjoyed the fuck out of that one. So we'll make sure to bring even more knowledge bombs to the next one. If you guys did enjoy this episode, per usual, go follow Braden, go follow Dylan on Instagram. Their Instagrams are in the show notes. My Instagram is also in the show notes, you know, as per usual. Keep tagging me too. great inside joke for people who listen to our podcast now. It was quite funny actually seeing some of the stories of people being like, here, I tagged you this time. So I appreciate it a lot. But go share it on your Instagram story. Go subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Leave us a review on Apple. Share it with a friend. Do whatever you want to do. Let's keep getting these out. And keep coming for the ride. As we talked about, we have really all meshed together for this, and we really enjoy doing this each week. So we're glad to bring you this content. And so thank you for listening to this episode of Coach's Corner on the Ace of Spades podcast.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.